Stand by. The verdict in Alexei Navalny's retrial in the Kirov-Lesk case is just days away. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFARL, and joining me in the studio is RFARL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. So the verdict in Navalny's embezzlement trial comes to a conclusion this week, with the verdict expected to be read on Wednesday. Prosecutors are asking for a suspended sentence, and that would bar Navalny from running for president next year. And I believe, actually, that in many ways, what the Kremlin decides to do with Navalny will tell us a lot about the Putin regime's political strategy going forward. If they convict and imprison him, it would suggest confidence. It would suggest that the Kremlin has decided to dispense with its Navalny problem once and for all, and that it does not fear a repeat of the unrest that took place when they tried to do this back in the summer of 2013. If they acquit him, it also suggests confidence in another way. It suggests that those in the regime arguing that Putin should run against Navalny and defeat him decisively have won the argument. And if they opt for a suspended sentence, it suggests a continuation of the status quo. What's your take? What are your thoughts on what we should see this week, Steve?
Well, I mean, as you say, there's kind of three options for the court or the Kremlin. One, of course, is to imprison him. This has happened before when prosecutors have asked for one sentence and the judge has come out with something harsher or more lenient. In this case, that would be harsher. But I doubt that he will be sentenced to a real prison term because it could make him a martyr. You know, he'd be in prison behind bars. Don't really see a reason for the Kremlin to want to do that. Also, you could argue that it would put, if he's in prison, that puts more. Well, it's the international response. There's more pressure on the Trump administration and other Western governments to be tougher on Russia. It's hard to say exactly how much of an effect that would have these days, but. But I think it's something that would give
more ammunition to the Lindsey Grahams and the John McCains in the United States Senate.
Exactly.
For a harder line. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
So that's probably a factor. And then on the other extreme is an acquittal, which, as you mentioned, would be quite bold, because it would show, look, we are not afraid of this guy. You know, Putin will run, or whoever Putin picks to run.
I'd call me crazy, but I think it's Putin.
Yeah. can beat him, no problem. It's not going to be a big deal. So that would be a bold move. But I doubt also that they will do this. I doubt that he'll be acquitted for a couple of reasons. I think, for one thing, it would kind of state that, look, some of the previous verdicts and sentences in high-profile cases like this, it would cast them into doubt,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
His other case, the previous trial, people would ask, well, why was he convicted in the first place? And then also going back to Khodorkovsky and other cases, you'd sort of say, well, is Russia admitting that its justice system is not independent, or is
what we all know it is, right?
So, I mean, and so that's one factor. Another is I think they probably still are concerned about not that he would win necessarily, but that he would do fairly well. He could do fairly well. He did get almost a third of the votes in the Moscow mayor election. I know Moscow's not all Russia,
but he ran a good campaign. You ran a really smart campaign, and that's got to make them nervous.
And I think, you know, on one level, it would sort of, exactly, and it would sort of, it would just raise the prospect of, look, you know, there's democracy, there's sort of an alternative in the future, whether it's, you know, this time around or the next time. And then the next time, if Putin's running in 2018, you know, the next time they're going to be less sure, because Putin can't run again without changing something. So I think the Kremlin would be worried about opening up the idea of real competitive elections.
Right.
So that's another factor. And I think it just seems to me that they're probably not ready for that. So I would guess that probably that I mean, I've been wrong before about certain things that, that Russia's done in the
last, we all?
past 2 or 3 years. But I would think maybe they would go for the continuation, as you say, of the status quo.
Now, that's my feeling, too. But the question lingering in my mind is why go through all this rigmarole? He was already serving a suspended sentence from the 2013 case. The Supreme Court overturned that and sent this back to why go through all this? And to me, this suggests that there's some indecisiveness in the regime about how to deal with the Navalny problem. You have different factions arguing for different things. They don't know whether to tame him, crush him, co-opt him, or what. And this plays itself out. I mean, if you think back to 2013, this was the first Kirov-less trial. And this was happening right before, in the run-up to the Moscow mayoral election, which Navalny wanted to run in. They initially convicted him and gave him a real prison sentence, which resulted in massive unrest on the streets of Moscow. And then he was released the next day, returned to Moscow triumphantly. It was reminiscent of Lenin at Finland Station, that scene at Yaroslavsky Vauxhall. And then they gave him a suspended sentence, but then allowed him to run because the sentence wasn't in effect yet.
Right.
He did well in the mayoral election. And it seemed like they were moving back towards crushing him. And then now, on the eve of the presidential election, or the year before, the Supreme Court overturns that conviction. Why
right.
go through all of this again? And it makes me think there is a debate going on. And I think what happens Wednesday will tell us a lot about not who's won that debate, but who is winning it at the time. Because if you remember back in 2013... Sergei Sobyanin, the current mayor of Moscow, wanted to run against Navalny.
Right.
It would give him legitimacy. And that was actually one of the more interesting and more competitive elections we've seen
Absolutely.
In Russia in recent years. Navalny proved himself to be a very strong candidate, almost forced a second round. So what we're going to see is, I think, the result of some infighting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree. There are signs that this is the result of infighting, and that another potential sign of that is Volodin, who's now, you know, used to be in the Kremlin, now he's the Duma speaker, but he made some comments several weeks ago suggesting that, in his view at least, Navalny can't run anyway. He said Navalny should, you know, look at the law.
I don't understand his logic there, because my understanding is you have to be convicted of it has to be a sobna khrupna razmira,
yes,
corruption.
I'm not sure I think there's still the possibility. But I agree. I mean, it does seem like there was an idea that, okay, let's actually retry him and maybe acquit him or maybe engineer it so that he can run. In order to give the next election real legitimacy and also dispense with the challenge from him, but again, it seems unlikely to me that that's what's going to happen. But I think they would still keep up their sleeves some ways to kind of prevent him from running, possibly, mm-hmm. and that may be what Volodin was.
And those can always be manufactured. And the other thing to
exactly.
bear in mind is the Russia in February of 2017 is a very different Russia than the Russia in July of 2013. Much
yes.
has happened in the intervening years. All right, that's about all we have time for today, so we'll wrap it up. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been RFRL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.